to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. This episode is brought to you by Carol L. Campos Coaching. Why coach with me when there are so many coaches out there? I do things differently. I don't jump right into your goal. Why? Well, what I've learned is that the subconscious mind is running 90% of the show. That's where we start. We clear any emotional blocks and limiting beliefs first, making sure you know your why and are aligned with where you're headed before tackling your goal. Whether you want to change careers or simply want more joy in your life, I can teach you strategies to help you gain the clarity needed to go where your heart is calling. To get started, I invite you to sign up for a free discovery session at carollcampos.com. Together, let's light your path. Hey, everybody, I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
So today we are talking to Joe Gill. So fun fact about how Joe and I met. Mind you, we both live in Massachusetts, probably about a half hour away from each other. So naturally, you might guess we met at a networking event. But no, we were introduced via email from a mutual LinkedIn connection who lives in Canada. Gotta love the world we live in. So Joe has quite a story. As a child, he endured some horrible bullying, and as an adult, he beat cancer and went through 5 layoffs. Joe believes you can accomplish anything with resilience, perseverance, and good old-fashioned hard work. Currently, Joe is a social media consultant for his agency, Valuencer. He describes himself as part story shower, one part mad scientist, and one part detective. And with these traits and skills, he helps his clients solve their social media marketing ROI mystery. For fun, Joe enjoys spending time with his family, drinking craft beer, being a Star Wars loving nerd, and attending as many concerts as he can. So welcome, Joe.
Thank you. That was a great intro.
I'm so glad you liked it. It always feels a little strange doing an intro for somebody you've interacted with for a long time.
Oh, I know. It's like, hey, here's my buddy, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I touched on this a little bit in the intro, but talk to us a little bit about what you went through as a kid and how that helped you deal with the adversity you dealt with later on in life.
So these are the ancient days before social media where, you know, you just met kids at classroom or playing sports or Cub Scouts or whatever. This is how you just met people back in the day, right? We all remember those days. If you weren't one of the cool kids, if you, at that point, I had a big nose. As my dad said, when I was born, I was a baby nose. So I had a pretty big nose. Yeah, I grew into it now. He finally admitted it now. So that was something, you know, I was lanky. I was really tall for my age. I was already probably 5'11", 6 feet tall in what, I don't know, sixth grade, fifth grade. I was already kind of a really tall kid. Off the bat, you know, awkward and all that stuff. So, of course, the cool kids and the jocks and all the different groups you all remember as growing up, if you weren't part of that group and you just didn't fit the mold, that's a weakness for them, right? So they kind of prey on you, just like the old, you know, the slow antelopes in the herd and the lion goes after, right?
Oh, yeah.
Same kind of thing. Oh, yeah. So, you know, some of the things that just blows my mind that if this happened today, it'd be probably newsworthy and it'd probably be kids getting in trouble with the authority kind of stuff. So I used to get picked on by not one or two kids in a class, like the homeroom, like before homeroom. Give me a hard time, making fun of me, pushing me, you know, stuff like that. And it didn't just end there at the kids at school. It was people in the neighborhood too. So a lot of guys, you know, my age that we played, but there were also older kids there. And they, you know, just again, just decided to pick out, you know, pick out me for whatever reason and, you know, give me a hard time. And to the point where it was either they tied me up in the woods or they tied me up with electrical tape and left me in the middle of the street.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't a major road, but still I have to ask my neighbor who's a couple years younger than me to get me a pair of scissors so I could cut myself out of it. And yeah, there's, you know, another kid on my street. So it's just like that bullying element was always around me somehow, some way, right?
Yeah.
To the point where I didn't have many friends in school. I had a couple here and there. And even the ones I was friends with were kind of not in my camp, if you will. So I had a friend of mine who, you know, my mother, his mother grew up together in Revere. And we just knew each other from the crib, like just at the very beginning. So we were always friends. And, you know, he lived in Melrose. I lived in Wilmington. And that was my escape from all the horrible stuff that was going on in Wilmington where I lived. I would take the train, go see him, and he would introduce me to his friends. And what was great about that, you were a clean slate to these other people. They don't know you because there's no social media, right? So it was great and awesome that I was able to, you know, rebuild my confidence. Because at one point when I was going through that bullying, I thought about killing myself and get a little emotional thinking about it. But my buddy told me that if I did that, he'd spit on my grave. And you can't get a more sobering thing from a 15-year-old, 16-year-old friend.
Yeah.
Than that, right? So that kind of woke me up and said, you know, time to dust yourself off and just set your own path again. So as I mentioned, I became friends with these guys. They took me in, became great friends, still friends with them now 20-something years later. And that was just an amazing experience to me. So that gave me confidence that I could have friends. And there are people out there that don't judge you.
Right.
And there are people that like you for who you are. You probably know, Carol. I'm a very talkative guy. If I know you, I won't shut up. But if I don't know, I'm very shy. But like a lot of people used to say to me, like, I couldn't stand you. You're just boisterous and loud. But then as I got to know you, I couldn't believe how big your heart was and how much you cared. And I'm like, that's me. You know, it might be like a defense mechanism talking a lot because you're just nervous. You know what I mean?
And right.
I see a lot of that in my son as well at 6 years old. And just something I want to talk about as well. So what bullying is today. So that was back in the 80s and 90s. Now, this is now 2019, 2018 when he started kindergarten. And I think there's a hypersensitivity, and I think that word is being used in the wrong context now, or maybe it's because I remember bullying at the worst of it than the way it's being used now. So for instance, you know, my son we got a call from the principal. I'm like, he's in kindergarten.
Oh, geez.
You know, like, what are we doing? I'm in the dentist office. I'm getting a phone call about my son. And early in the year last year, he got in trouble for a food fight. And again, I didn't do that stuff in kindergarten. We slept and we like played outside and took a nap. I mean, that's all
right.
So, you know, I'm talking to the principal. He's like, Joe, you know, your son was basically, you know, making fun of these other kids. And with these three other boys, there's like a kind of a gang mentality, if you will. We don't like that. You know, the mother, you know, called us and said he was bullying the child because the kid stuttered and so forth. And I did not condone what he did. I was very upset because I was that kid.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point where even the principal, and I even spoke to his teacher, said that the parent using the word bullying was probably a little over the top. For, again, I don't condone what my son did. I think it was wrong. But bullying has just such a bad connotation to it. It's just, I always envision bullying like, you know, people punching you, hitting you, tying you up in the woods.
Right.
Nip it in the bud. Absolutely. I agree with him there. But I think that word is just getting thrown away too much, and it might be to the point where it's like cry wolf scenario. And I don't think that helps anybody out. So that was just kind of like in kindergarten, it just blows my mind that that word's getting thrown around in kindergarten. Like these kids don't even know what's up or down yet. For a word like that to get thrown around is kind of crazy.
It is hard because I do agree with you. I think that people tend to jump on to a phrase and then apply that to everything. But the other side of that is also, yes, nip it in the bud. If there's behavior in kindergarten, educate the kids in a positive way, not in a negative way. Educate them as to what proper behavior is and what won't be tolerated. And then you don't raise another generation of bullies.
I completely agree. And teacher just sent a note home that about him that he's, you know, talking in class and he's this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, you have to address the behavior as it happens, kind of just like what you said.
Yeah.
Whereas I find out about my son, he's not paying attention. He's kind of, you know, he's being a kid, you know, the teacher, how long has this been going on? And they told me 7 weeks. And I'm like, we have to talk about this earlier. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I know they have a lot, they, you know, 15, 20 kids in class. It's a lot going on. But we just, again, you need to deal with that behavior at the beginning or as it's happening. Just like we all talk about this probably in our work lives and marriage too. Like, if there's something that's bothering you or I'm not doing the job right, could you tell me as it's happening?
Right.
Yep, absolutely. So Carol mentioned in the intro that you had a battle with cancer and that you've also been through many layoffs. How has all of that changed you and what lessons did you learn from that?
I like to call myself like the 5-time defending laid off champion of the world, like a wrestling thing or being like the Patriots of job seekers. Well, again, I think what happened to me as a kid, I can get through it. I already got through some really bad stuff as a kid. When I got laid off the first time, I didn't know how to handle it. I mean, I was 30 years old. At that point, I was probably having a little mini midlife crisis at 30 years old. My parents split up after years together. I had a relationship end. I got laid off. I blew my shoulder out playing hockey. It was just like everything.
Yeah, the hits kept coming.
Oh, perfect storm. And then, but I didn't know how to deal with it then because it was like the first time getting laid off. I didn't know, you know, you start going through, you know, what am I doing wrong? Do I have any worth? Am I good at what I do? You go through all that.
Yeah.
I was living at a house my dad rented out to us at the time. And I was going out and drinking and spending money and just blowing money on credit cards and all this stuff and amassing debt and just not a happy person. And, you know, online dating and just going, it just was just like an online, like just to be around people because I was just, because I kind of isolated at home, right? Because I didn't have a job. And it was just, that was a crazy, because I didn't know how to deal with it. But then the second, third, the fourth, and the fifth time, I learned something. I learned something every single time. So for instance, the second time I got laid off, I was able to, it opened a door for me. I'm beginning to believe in that a little bit more than I used to back in the day, but I got laid off, but I was talking to one of the PR agency we worked with, and he had a sports blog, and he knew how much I love sports. He asked me to write for it, and that was kind of how my whole, I pivoted my career from event marketing to social media marketing, content marketing, blogging, what have you, because I started doing that when I was home. So I was starting to write, and I was starting to build social media networks, and I was really understanding what resonated from a content perspective and what didn't. So it was kind of laying the foundation for me, and I took advantage of a bad thing and made it a good thing. So that was great too. And then the other ones, I lose track of them. You know, one was like a startup. What are you going to do? Things happen.
Well, I have to say, I mean, it plays out like a bad movie. It can't be real, but yet all of these things, and it sounds cliche, but it's true. It does make you stronger and it does give you that foundation, especially when you're about to embark on the entrepreneurial journey, because there's right. So many ups and downs. There isn't really a sense of security, which clearly you didn't really have a sense of security even at the 9-to-5. And now you have all this experience to take you to the next level. So tell us a little bit about your social media marketing company, Valuencer. What does it mean to be a Valuencer, and how is that different from being an influencer? And I know you hate that word.
Good question. And I'm happy. And I'm happy you said the name of the company right, because even some people say my last name wrong. So it's amazing. So when I was on LinkedIn, I started the journey like November last year, and I was on there. And LinkedIn has morphed quite a bit, as you probably saw my video, Carol, that I've done.
Yeah.
It has morphed quite a bit. And back then, it was, I think, more, there were people on here that were just here to tell this story, to really help others that are going through the same things. Like, I talked to Brian Schulman and Jake Melton, and they went through the same corporate stuff I went through. So you had somebody there that went down the same path, walked the same, you know, in the same shoes. Whereas your spouse, as much as they say they haven't. I mean, right. End of the day, they haven't. So I saw Quentin Alums up on LinkedIn, and I saw him. He was really being authentic and true, and he's talking about all these titles and being called a guru and a expert and an influencer. He's like, I'm just me. And I go, yeah, man, you just, you know, bring in value, like a valuencer. It just came to me. And I was like, whoa, okay. And then I started using it and hashtagging it. And then I had, Tima down in Australia. She said to me, Joe, you have to run with this. You have to run with this right now. You got to copyright it, do what you have to do. And I ended up copywriting. I grabbed all the URLs. I grabbed the social media channel monikers and everything and just rolled with it and just wrote that article because I think too many people think influence is the driving factor of what you should strive for. That's the complete, not the truth. I think now with social media, people are getting caught in that, you know, that slippery slope of, I have to be a star. I have to have a million followers. I have to this, that. No, you don't. All you need to do is have, I mean, we all get caught in it. I say it, but I got caught in it too with like LinkedIn. Like, why isn't anyone seeing my videos? I don't understand. And I took a month away from it because I couldn't do it anymore. I just was getting that caught up in it. But because influence is a byproduct of value, right? That's what you're bringing. That's why people fall. I mean, there's been a lot of influences in history, and none of them have been good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, you know, exactly.
Talk about that guy in Germany. Not a good person. But the value you bring should help you shine through and help be the establishment of your personal brand or your business, what have you. It's just, I run the other direction when I see someone in their title on LinkedIn say that I'm an influencer. You don't get to call yourself that. We call you that.
Right, exactly. I was actually going to say the same thing. It's like, that to me is a big red flag.
I know. There's one guy on LinkedIn, you might know, I'm not going to say his name, but I give him a hard time all the time because he's wearing an influencer hat. I'm like, come on, man. Burn that hat now. Just burn it. Come on. But, you know, like I said, I just, that term, I wish they would change it altogether. I think who I was talking to, but they said, you know, you should be an advocate. I like that even more. Why don't you be an advocate or a thought leader rather than an influencer?
Right. So what do you think is one of the biggest components about bringing value? Is it the content? Is it collaboration? What is it for you?
All the above. I think all the above. I mean, you know, meeting folks like yourself on here has been great through Rob, right? Rob up in Canada, which is great. And then collaborations I've had with Ashley McGrath doing our own podcast, The Wicked Creative Collective, which we'll have you guys on in the new season.
Yay!
Has been just a great experience because I think you can both attest to this. I think when you, this is like a fireside chat, right? It's like being around the campfire, having a, you know, a beverage with your friends and just talking about life. And I think you just have a kinship with people that you kind of do a podcast with. I feel that way. I don't know how you feel, but
yeah, absolutely.
Cause you're really going deep, right? You're going through a lot of layers with people. And you know, what Ashley and I have been doing has been great. And Ashley's kind of been there on that journey with me. She's married, has a family. I'm married, I have a family. And we both go through some of the same struggles, like balancing life, business and entrepreneurship. And I mean, she works a full-time gig and does all her stuff on the side, which is mind-blowing. She's incredible, the stuff that she can do. But I think it's just like being authentic on here, just being genuine. Like, I just say how it is. You don't like it, that's cool. You can not, you know, turn the channel, right? How we said, turn the channel if you don't like it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I mean, we don't have to comment. If it's not your cup of tea, you can hide it. You can, you know, there's so many people with so many differing opinions. You're going to find your people.
Oh yeah, absolutely no doubt about it. I think that's where we're at right now from a LinkedIn perspective. I think I have my tribe, if you will. And then if it expands a little bit, great, but I'm not really looking for it, right? If it happens organically, that's great. I just want to stick to my guns and be who I am and not go with the, you know, running with the Joneses where it just seems like it's just not as much value driven anymore.
Exactly. And Joe, I know this might be a little woo for you, but I do think a lot of it is the energy, the energy you bring to the table. People just, you know, they either really like it or they don't.
Well, again, you know, when you've had, a couple of rounds with the Mike Tyson of adversity, which I have, I mean, I mean, just be yourself. I mean, we get to lose. Cause when I was younger, I couldn't be myself because I was just getting beaten down emotionally by these kids who taunted me and beat me up and bullied me, or girls laughing at me at the lunchroom. It's just like I could never get out of it. I was trapped, right? I was trapped in myself. And now over the years, I'm like, hey, this is me. And, you know, another tidal wave of adversity. Let's just keep rowing up that wave. You know, what am I going to do? I'm going to mail it in. I can't. I can't afford it. I'm not doing it. It's just not who I am. I try to. You know, I have my outlets. I like to create content. I like to network and meet great people. And I love music and Star Wars, which I'm so nerding out about it, at least recently with Disney Plus. But and sharing those moments with my son too, because he's a nerd after his own dad for sure.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you just have to push forward. I mean, you have no other option. I mean, there's a good quote. I actually have it on my desk. You never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. So you mentioned the podcast that you do with Ash McGrath called Wicked Creative Collective Podcast.
Right.
Talk about where the name came from and how did that collaboration get started?
Yeah, so, God, I almost forgot how Ashley and I mean, the actual setting, how we, I mean, I know it was on LinkedIn, but I don't know how we actually met, but we just did. I don't know. We're both, you know, Massachusetts folks, and you know, I think we just have the same sense of humor and all that. And then, like offline, we both have truck driver malt, so that's probably. I try to keep it clean for you guys.
Thanks.
But yeah, it just came. You know, we're like, we just share the same mindset, and we kind of attack things the same way. And she's a copywriter, which makes a whole hell of a lot of sense working together because I'm the social media marketer. So, whatever she's kind of building the story on that website, I could help promote it through social, right? So it just made sense. We've actually had a couple of collaboration calls and nothing's panned out, but we are working together and we already know like who's our first choice if we need someone in social or copywriting. But we started, we had our first calls. We did our first two episodes and you learn a lot as you probably both attest as well. We went through the boohoo LinkedIn crew at the beginning. Like, why isn't LinkedIn working? What happened? Complaining, which wasn't good. And you can kind of see that, but then we're like, hey, this isn't about the algorithm. It's about us, and it's not about why aren't we getting this many views and all that. It's about if we have two people that saw it got value out, that's what really should matter. Mm-hmm. I keep telling myself that because you have to do it sometimes, right? Like, why didn't this episode of my podcast get more than 12 downloads? I don't get it. I thought it was great.
Right.
But it isn't what you think. You know, and there's a lot of competition. There's so much white noise out there. There's so many different social channels. There's all the, you know, Apple TV and everything on the handheld units, devices we have. It's just so you have to cut through the noise. So I mean, we've had Brian Schulman on. We've had, we just had Jonas Coughlin on, who's an amazing guy. He's coming out in our next episode. Incredible. We've had Deb Caviello. Deb's great. I met her through LinkedIn. I'm actually working with her for her personal brand and her company for social media perspective. So that's awesome. So there you go. That was a relationship that turned not only to a friendship, but also a business relationship.
Right.
And Belinda, I always got a last name wrong. Armadi, I believe as well.
Yeah, no, you've had some really great people. And I love what you said. It's like a fireside chat. It really is like you're all just sitting around chatting, but there is value. You know, it's, you know, there's laughs and everything, but there's some really good content that comes out of it.
I think the story, even though storytelling has been around since people were like scraping on the inside of caves. I mean, I love how that's
exactly
a big word in the last 4 or 5 years. No, it's been around for like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But
yes,
I mean, everybody used to tell me that too. Like I've just been a storyteller. And like, even when I was, you know, in my single dating days on online dating, telling these stories to people about some of my not so great dates. They literally said to me, Joe, you have to write this down.
You do.
I actually have them. So I'm just going to let
okay,
you know.
Good.
I still have them in the archives. But the funny thing is I post these stories on MySpace way back at the time machine on MySpace. You can Google it, kids. And people resonated with it too because, you know, I don't know if either of you did online dating at any point, but online dating is its own animal. It's just a crazy world. It's just holy crap moments. Did that just happen? Did that?
Been there, done that. Thank God I don't have to do it anymore.
Well, you learned, right? It's all about learning.
Yes, learn fast.
Sometimes it was value, sometimes not so much. But it was just a crazy experience. So they've been telling me, like, you know, every time they're like, my friends would be like, yeah, Joe, I've heard this one. This is in volume 6 of your top stories of Joe. I'm like, all right, man. I'm sorry. There's a new person in the fold. I had to tell them about it. I just, like, you know, humor for me and like comedy for me is like, I think it's just, you know, fuel for the soul. It's for me.
Oh, it is. It's very healing. It really is.
Cause when I, you know, when I had cancer and I had a golf ball sized tumor in my neck, the people at my job, one of the best jobs I ever had, like from a team standpoint and a boss standpoint, like to the point where I think they named him Timmy the Tumor or something like that. And we just joked around with it. I had a laugh. Like if I just, weld in it. I mean, I remember the time I literally could not sit down because it was pressing on my neck and on my shoulder. And to the point where like, I went into my boss and I broke down because I was just like, this is like some of the scariest things ever. But then I had a guy, his name's Tony, great friend of mine still, you know, he gave me his stand-up desk. He goes, you have mine, take it, go. And I barely even knew him then. And that was just to me like, wow. I mean, that to me, I'm the type of person like, I like everybody until you give me a reason not to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he was just like, that was just for me. I don't forget stuff like that. I never will. It's like, even when I moved into my new house, I had a couple of neighbors just come right up to us and say, hello, welcome to the neighborhood. And like, that means a lot because in this time, I don't know if that's just leaving us, that kind of neighborly kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But this neighborhood, definitely not. We have a great neighborhood. I'm just so blessed that we moved into it.
Yeah.
But it's just that human interaction that thinks is escaping us because, you know, as we talked about, Carol, you and I on LinkedIn today, you know, Brian Shulman and Tima just meeting in Australia for the first time and seeing that raw live emotion.
Yeah.
It's just so awesome. I mean, that was just such a great moment. I think the humanity, we need to bring it back.
Yeah. And just for our listeners real quick. So what Joe is referring to, so Brian Shulman is, you know, kind of a heavy hitter on LinkedIn and lives in Canada.
Ocala, California.
Oh, is he in California? Yeah. I actually thought he was in Canada. So he's in California and then Tima is in Australia and they had been connected for a really long time. And then just, was it like yesterday, the day before, they finally met in person and you could see just how excited, you know, here they are in different continents and
oh yeah,
it, very exciting. And those are the kind of relationships right. you can build. And you don't, I remember people saying, oh yeah, you can really make friends and whatever through social media. And I was really skeptical about that, but I mean, absolutely look at you and I, Joe, I mean,
right.
It is actually something that is pretty amazing and I'm really grateful for it.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got to Spin Out Networks. I introduced you to Kathy, who I've known for goodness, 18 years now, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's just great getting people together that have been through a lot of the same things because I think we could just rely on each other and support each other because, as I mentioned before, you have family and friends that you love to death and you really respect them, but they don't know. Like my wife works a 9-to-5 in Cambridge. She's a scientist, but she doesn't know my world. Sometimes if you don't get in the car, sometimes people don't think you're working.
Oh, yes. Trust me. I know.
Okay. You know too. All right. So let me ask you, I'm going to flip the script. Why do you think that people have that perception of people who don't drive to work every day?
I don't know. I've been self-employed since the mid-90s.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is maybe because my schedule is flexible in that
right.
if I have to do something else at 10 in the morning, I can go do something else at 10 in the morning. But what people don't know is then I might be working from 10 to midnight at night to make up for that.
Right.
Or I'm going to be working on Sunday to make up for that. But there's sort of this, I don't even want to call it a joke because it's not a joke, but my wife will say things like, well, can you do ABC? And it's like, well, no, I'm working. Yeah, but you're home.
I get that all the time.
Like, yeah, but I'm working.
I'm upstairs doing stuff. I am not just sitting here. Like I tell my wife, I'm not here playing PlayStation 4 all day. I'd love to do that and have a craft beer all day, but I'm not. I'm upstairs. Like now is I'm on the fence. And I'm dipping my toe back and going to 9-to-5. So I'm like looking, not only trying to build out business if I have to, but also looking for a job at the same time. Interviewing and all this stuff. It's a full-time job to do that. You know that, Carol, and you know that too.
Yeah, it never ends. It never ends.
It doesn't. It never ends. Like for me, who's been, luckily for me, and there's another thing too, being laid off so many times, I know the process. I kind of have the process.
Yeah, that's actually a really good thing because I think for so many people, that's a huge adjustment from going to like having your whole day kind of planned out for you and suddenly you are the, you know, kind of running the ship and you have to figure out how am I going to use my day wisely and not just kind of mess around, go shopping, watch TV, whatever. Like you have to learn a self-discipline that might not have been there before.
Right. I do think those goof off days that you need them too, though.
Oh, you do. Oh my gosh. Yes. And Deb and I have talked about that too. I feel like, you know, Fridays, that's usually the day for me because I'm usually working at, you know, different points during the weekend. So that seems to be my day. You definitely need that just to, especially if you're in any kind of creative job, you know, I'm trying to think of content or writing a blog post. You need to give yourself that time.
I mean, I think in any line of work, you need your own time. I mean, I could never, I was always the person like dragging people like, could you get away from your desk? Can you just go out? And get a cup of coffee or go for lunch instead of just sitting at your desk for 9-10 hours a day. I never understood that. And I never will because I just think that's going to be burnout. You're going to burn out. You're going to detest working where you're working. You're not even going to get to know your team. And it just blew my mind that some people just think, again, and not to sound like just, you know, just to sound like crass and old and get off my lawn, but the end of the day, they owe you nothing.
Yeah, you're not going to get a medal for working through lunch.
You're interchangeable. As much as you don't think you are interchangeable. I mean, unless you work for a company that your family owned or something like that, which is still up for debate, but
yeah, it's a whole different thing. So, Joe, we're kind of winding down, and it's been so fun talking to you. So, you've gone through a lot as an adult. So, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your 13-year-old self?
Oh, good question. Well, I could tell him that I'm going to still like the nerdy things you like already. Anyway, at 46, it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's an asterisk to that, Carol and Deb, because it depends if technology is existent or not, because it's, do you know what I mean? It's like, if we go back to 1986, first of all, I'd be like, get rid of those pants and do your hair differently. You know, again, at 13, I was still going through a lot of the stuff. I don't know. I don't think it was as bad as high school, but be yourself again. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think I can attest that I think my true self comes out and people respect it and like it and gravitate towards it and we become friends, because I've had friends from every job I've ever had. As you know, I've had a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I've kind of kept ties with somebody, and I always try to check up on people. And I'm always the guy that, the glue guy. Like, I would tell my 30-year-old self, just stay true to yourself. I mean, not the sound all Brady Bunchy.
We love Brady Bunch, so no problem with
that. Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's just a Hallmark.
Yeah.
But that's just what it is. It's just be true to yourself, be happy with yourself. Another thing, too, one thing quickly, if you need help, get it. I've been going to a therapist since I was 30 years old. But, you know, I'm now 46, and it's helped me out so much. Just to have that neutral party to bounce things off of, because professionally, personally, and I can't, you know, don't be afraid. I think it takes more strength saying that you need help than not.
Oh, absolutely.
Most people, when we ask that question, that's sort of the answer. It's like, just be you. So many of us weren't.
You force not to be, because the elements are.
Right.
I mean, the people around you in your life, whatever. You know, my parents wasn't the best relationship at all, but my dad said something, I think it was my dad, said something to me recently. We reconnected after 8 years, which has been great for me too. He met my son for the first time, and he came to the realization, like, it's stupid that we're not talking anymore. You know, he just, you know, that was one of those things where people can change for the better, right? Mm. You can see your wrongs. But, you know, he said, I think we raised three pretty good kids. I don't know about my sisters, but I know I'm pretty damn. No, my sisters are great. They're wonderful. But, yeah, that's the thing. I think we grew up pretty well. I'm trying to be the best parent I can, because sometimes you're like, I'll never be like my parents. And a lot of time you are, good and bad. So I'm trying to get rid of a lot of the bad. So,
well, I think you're doing a great job. And I'm so grateful that we met. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You know, again, I think it's a matter of, just as others have done for me. And I know, Carol, you and I talked about our corporate lives that helped me as well, because I felt I wasn't alone. It just means a lot that we meet with people that can really elevate us and help us through the storm, because as we know in life, there's a lot of them. I just don't have a good weatherman. They never tell me when they're coming, you know, it's just crazy. But no, I appreciate it. It's been great. And you guys like have a great show, and, you know, congratulations on your 1 year anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Joe, thank you so much for joining us. And as always, you can catch the show on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you're hearing, please shoot us an email, send us a comment, review the show. We love hearing from all of you. We get some great comments from our listeners, and we really look forward to that. Joe, thank you again for sharing your story, and it was great to meet you. We'll have to do this.
Yeah, we'll get to this in person. Absolutely. No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Right. Bye, everybody.